Please subscribe and leave a review of Dorky wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can support the pod if you'd like. You can use PayPal or Buy Me a Coffee. There are links to both methods on Dorky's website and in the show notes of this episode. Thank you so much. Before the episode, let me tell you about an amazing online boutique that I just know you're going to love. Save Boutique is a great place for clothes, accessories, and shoes. One of the great things about Save is that it's size inclusive. Most items Save offers are available in sizes from small to 3X, and they're looking into ways to offer even more sizing options. They also drop new items every week, so there's always new things to choose from. They even offer 3 buy now, pay later options: Shop Pay, Klarna, and Afterpay. One last thing, they're offering a discount to Dorky listeners. Just enter the code Dorky, that's DORKEY, all caps, no spaces, for a 10% discount. I even put a link to Save Boutique in the description notes of this episode that will take you directly there and automatically apply the discount. So check out the amazing clothes, accessories, and shoes Save Boutique has to offer. You'll be so glad you did. Hello, this is Dorky. I'm your host, April. This is a podcast about history. I'm going to be discussing events, people, and sometimes just random things from history that interest me. I am absolutely not a historian. I'm just a dork who spends a lot of time watching, reading, listening to anything I can get my hands on about history, and I want to talk about it. I think a lot can be learned from looking into the past, and I'd like to share what I've learned, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to week 3 of 2023's Spooktacular. I'm celebrating Halloween by having each topic during the month of October be about something spooky. This week, we're talking about the Spanish queen known as Juana la Loca. Juana la Loca, in English, translates to Joanna the Crazy. Juana of Castile was born November 6, 1479. She was the 3rd of 4 surviving children. Her mother was Queen Isabella I of Castile, and her father was King Ferdinand II of Aragon. I'm already going to call a side note, just to mention that at this time, Spain was split into 2 kingdoms, Castile and Aragon. Isabella was the sole ruler of Castile, and Ferdinand was the sole ruler of Aragon. But they ruled both kingdoms together as one. This also seems like a good place to mention that Isabella and Ferdinand were known for being the first monarchs to be referred to as the Queen of Spain and the King of Spain. King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella have been mentioned before on this podcast. They were the King and Queen of Spain that sent Christopher Columbus on his voyage across the Atlantic Ocean, which led to Europe's discovery of North America. To give you an even better idea of the time and place I'm talking about, Juana was the older sister of Catherine of Aragon, who was King Henry VIII's first wife and Queen of England. Ferdinand and Isabella believed in strong education, and made sure all of their children were given a good education, even their daughters, which was unusual for that time. Juana was educated in canon and civil law, genealogy and heraldry, grammar, history, languages, mathematics, philosophy, reading, spelling, and writing. She was also skilled at dancing and music, playing several musical instruments.
Juana's education and formal training was with the idea that she, as an infanta, or princess of Spain, would be part of a significant marriage that would serve as an alliance to extend Spain's power and influence in Europe. I mentioned that Juana was the third of four children. Her older brother John was next in line for the throne of Spain. And Juana also had an older sister named Isabella, who had a son, Miguel. All of that to say that due to the laws of succession, Juana was far enough down the line for the throne that she wasn't expected to inherit it. On October 20, 1496, Juana married the Austrian Archduke Philip of Flanders. This marriage was arranged, but on paper, it looked like Juana got very lucky with this match. Not only was Philip close to Juana in age, only 2 years older than her, which often these arranged marriages would be between a teenage girl and a much older man. So not only were they almost the same age, but Philip was also apparently very good-looking. So good-looking that you know how rulers would sometimes get a nickname like Richard the Lionheart? Well, Philip's nickname was Philip the Handsome. He was also known as Philip the Fair. So, Juana left for Flanders and married Philip the Handsome. Juana would eventually have six children, two boys and four girls, all of whom grew up to be either emperors or queens. This all sounds wonderful so far, right? But then the unthinkable happened. Juana's brother John died of what was most likely tuberculosis. John didn't have an heir, so that left Juana's older sister, Isabella, as next in line for the Spanish throne. Then, in what should have been the biggest red flag of all red flags, Philip the Handsome, who I think should have been called Philip the Jerk, tried to skip over Isabella and claim the throne for himself. Oops. His wife, Juana. All the Catholic monarchs in Europe got together and held a court in which Isabella, who was pregnant at the time all of this was happening, was declared ruler. Unfortunately, the unthinkable happened again, and Isabella died just after giving birth to her child, a son named Miguel. Miguel was officially recognized as heir. Unfortunately, because apparently this story isn't tragic enough, the unthinkable happened again, and Miguel died at about 2 years old in July of 1500. All of these tragic, unthinkable events led to Juana being named the heir presumptive to Castile and Aragon. So, what was Juana doing during all of this? Well, having children. Juana and Philip the Jerk would eventually have six children. But by 1500, she'd had two. She had another child in 1501, and then another one in 1503. So that's four children she's had in 5 years. I want to talk about why I'm calling Philip a jerk. Well, he doesn't seem to have been a good husband at all. He cheated on Juana, and not in that royal, we have an understanding and everyone is cool with it kind of way. Juana would catch him cheating, and she'd get upset, which, fair. Philip would use this as an example of her being, quote, crazy. Philip the Jerk was also super controlling and would lock Juana in her room until she'd comply with what he wanted. He also would just leave whenever he wanted, leaving her alone, spreading rumors about her. All, why is she so upset all the time? I mean, you know how women can be. She must be crazy. Then Juana's mother, Queen Isabel, got sick with a fever and died in 1504. That's also when reports of Juana exhibiting signs of mental instability really started appearing. As was seen at other times of stress during her lifetime, Juana didn't eat or sleep much when her mother fell ill. After visiting with her sick mother, Juana wanted to go to her husband in Flanders, but that would mean that she would have to travel through France, and France and Castile were at war at the time, so this wasn't possible. When Juana was prevented from leaving Spain for Flanders, she is said to have flown into a rage. After the death of Queen Isabel, Juana became the Queen of Castile. Just to keep this all straight, her father, King Ferdinand, was still alive and King of Aragon. Queen Isabel's will allowed Ferdinand to govern in Juana's absence, or if Juana was unwilling to rule herself until her heir reached the age of 20. King Ferdinand was not happy about not being King of Castile anymore, and, shocker, turned out to be just as big of a jerk as Philip. He had coins minted that said, Ferdinand and Juana, King and Queen of Castile, Leon, and Aragon. And, in early 1505, told the court that Juana's, quote, illness is such that the said queen cannot govern. Ferdinand was appointed Castile's administrator and governor, and Juana's guardian. Because, of course, he was. Philip the Jerk responded to this by having coins of his own minted that said, Philip and Juana, King and Queen of Castile, Leon, and Archdukes of Austria. So, that was a big burn on Ferdinand, I guess. Ferdinand then responded to this by getting married to the King of France's niece in the hopes he'd have an heir with her. Meanwhile, during all of this, Juana was being kept in confinement out of her father and husband's way, which, gross. Her father-in-law came to visit that August, though, and she was let out to see him. She spent weeks accompanying him in public events, during which she was noted by the Venetian ambassador to have acted like a wise, prudent queen. In other words, not crazy. Juana had child number 5 in 1505. In 1506, Juana's husband, Philip the Jerk, and her father, Ferdinand the Jerk, met in secret and came to an agreement that Juana's, quote, infirmities and sufferings made her incapable of ruling and promised to exclude her from government and deprive her of her crown and freedom, unquote. Philip the Jerk officially became King of Castile, jure uxoris. Jure uxoris is a Latin phrase that translates to by right of wife. In legal terms, it is used to refer to property or titles that are held by a man through his marriage to a woman, rather than through inheritance or other means. It can also refer to certain rights or privileges that a man holds because of his marriage to a woman. Thanks, Google. Philip died that same year of what was most likely typhoid fever. One of Juana's most notorious displays of alleged mental instability was said to have occurred when her husband died. She is said to have refused to part with her deceased husband's remains for a disturbingly long time. She was very pregnant with her 6th child at this time, but Juana insisted she travel with Philip's body from Burgos, Spain, to Granada, which is also in Spain, where Philip was to be buried. This is a distance of 415 miles, which is 668 kilometers. That would be about a 6-hour drive in a car, and it would have been a really long distance to cover in those days. During all of this, Juana was said to have refused to be separated from Philip's body. She is said to have repeatedly opened her husband's casket to embrace him and kiss him, eat meals with the body, sleep next to it, and even have conversations with it. I've also read that she didn't do any of that. That really, she just wanted to have the corpse close to her, that she kept it in a church nearby where she would visit it daily. This account does state that she brought the coffin along with her when she traveled. After dealing with Philip's death, Juana continued to try to rule alone in her own name as Queen of Castile. Her son and heir apparent, Charles, was 6 years old at this point and was living with his aunt in Flanders. Juana's father, Ferdinand, remained in Aragon. A regency council was set up, but it was unable to manage the growing public disorder. Plague and famine devastated the kingdom. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that the plague was going on throughout all of this. In the middle of this, Ferdinand returned to Castile in July 1507. He managed to arrive during a remission of the plague and famine, which made it seem like it was his return that had restored the health of the kingdom. With Ferdinand the Jerk in Castile, he and Juana met, and Ferdinand tried for 2 weeks to get her to turn over Castile and Leon to him. After 2 weeks, 3 members of the royal council were summoned, supposedly in her name, and they were ordered to inform everyone of her father Ferdinand's return to power. However, Juana made it clear that this was against her will and refused to sign the instructions. Juana also issued a statement that as queen, she did not endorse the surrender of her own royal powers. But it didn't matter. From then on, she was queen in name only. All documents, though issued in her name, were signed with Ferdinand's signature. He was named administrator of the kingdom by the courts of Castile in 1510. Ferdinand the Jerk dismissed all of Juana's servants, had her confined in Castile, and appointed a small council accountable to him alone. After the death of Ferdinand, on January 23, 1516, Juana became Queen of Aragon. You would think all of this would be over now, right? But no. The Regency Council hid the news of Ferdinand's death from her, pretending he still lived and ruled. Juana's son Charles, who was 17 at this point, arrived in 1517. On November 4th, Charles met with Juana. She gave him authorization to rule as her co-king of Castile, Leon, and of Aragon. Despite this, her confinement would continue. Charles now ruled Aragon and its territories, as well as Castile and its territories. Charles was also elected Holy Roman Emperor that same year. Charles would have his mother confined for the rest of her life in the now demolished royal palace in Tordesillas, which is in Castile. Juana's condition degenerated further. She apparently became convinced that some of the nuns that took care of her wanted to kill her. Reportedly, it was difficult for her to eat, sleep, bathe, or change her clothes. Charles wrote to her caretakers, "It seems to me that the best and most suitable thing for you to do is to make sure that no person speaks with Her Majesty, for no good could come of it." This is so heartbreaking. In her final years, Juana's physical state began to rapidly decline. She began having issues with mobility. Juana died on Good Friday, April 12, 1555, at the age of 75 in the royal palace at Tordesillas. She is entombed in the Royal Chapel of Granada in Spain, alongside her parents, Isabella and Ferdinand, her husband Philip, and her nephew Miguel. So, this is the horror story that was Juana of Castile's life. And in my opinion, no matter what angle you look at the story from, it qualifies as horror. it's clear that I can't make a claim for or against Juana's sanity when it's over 450 years after her death. But I do feel comfortable saying that she was married to a jerk, spent almost 10 years either pregnant or postnatal, dealt with the sudden death of several close family members, was basically betrayed by her husband, her father, and then her son, and was locked away for like 40 years. I mean, if she wasn't mentally ill at the beginning of all of that, I would be surprised if she wasn't mentally ill by the end of it. I knew about the Juana not wanting to bury her husband Philip's corpse story going into this, and that was why I initially thought Juana would be a good choice for a topic for the spooktacular. Then, the more I researched and learned about Juana's life, the more horrified I became, and I knew that she was a good choice for a topic. I'd like to end this with a quote from one of my sources. Juana was a troubled individual who was not trained for the political world, found herself surrounded by strong personalities, and had to face a shocking amount of cruelty and deceit. See you next week for the fourth and final episode of 2023's Spooktacular. Here are some of the sources I used for today's episode. Daily Art Magazine, Geekint.org, Tudor Society, and, as always, Wikipedia. So that's it. That's the episode. Thank you so much for listening. You can reach me at dorkypod@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Let me know if I left something out or got something wrong, or let me know if there's something in particular in history that you'd like me to talk about. There's a Facebook group called Dorky Podcast, and all the other social medias are at Dorky Pod. Join them and be part of our growing community, but also to get extra tidbits about episode topics, like facts and pictures. There's also a link to donate to the podcast on the website and in the show notes, if you'd like. Also, please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're hearing it. It helps the podcast grow, but more importantly, your feedback will help me make this a better podcast. Until we meet again, friends. I want to talk about why I'm calling Philip a jerk. Well, he doesn't seem to have been a good husband at all.